Mic's on.
Okay, call meeting to order at 6 o'clock. So, hearing the people, have we got folks that are here for that?
Not for that.
Different sort of presentation?
Different kind of people.
All right, it's all good. See, reports, administrators, Ryan, go first this time.
Yeah, sounds good. Kind of better late than never, just our appreciation of the school board. We put a nice little thank you up there, and also student leadership, they brought some food and some treats for you guys,
Thanks. So
please feel free, so. Yeah, so just some thoughts on January 27th. We had a really neat winter formal downtown McMinnville. I think it was called the McMinnville Ballroom or something like that. Grand Ballroom. Really a beautiful spot. And I had a pretty good turnout, had about 130 students or so. And pouring down rain, it's kind of cozy. I had a nice time. Big thank you to Mr. Keene and Mr. Nentiman, Mrs. Vine, Mrs. Abrams, and Mrs. Sawyer for chaperoning that and just supporting the time together. It was a nice day for my wife and I, too. Nice to have a babysitter and go on a date. So we didn't time the restaurant food well, so we were eating food in the back of the dance. But it was still a really fun time. So. The Warriors worked really hard during finals week, and we have a lot of smart, talented students, really impressive, really good performances, and finals week, it doesn't go perfect, with schedules, there's always some hang-ups here and there. We have some things to put in our pocket and work towards next time, but overall, really good performances, and just really proud of the kids. So, so we started semester two, as you know, February 5th. Just a few class changes, not too much. Kind of the typical, semester one beginning welding turns into advanced welding and a couple other switches like that, but not too substantial. And we're also really grateful for Jamie Sims stepping in and supporting the English department this semester. And off to a great start. Really grateful for her helping out with English. So at in-service, I guess that was last Friday. Yeah, at in-service February 9th. We looked at all that achievement data from semester one and kind of disseminated amongst the grades. We had to really see how the students did, and putting some plans in place to intervene when we need to make some interventions, support the kids. We have some ideas about doing that this spring. I know even just the idea of maybe doing like a Friday school. I think maybe you guys have had some success at the middle school in the past for that, but we're kind of teasing that idea out and seeing if we can help students that way. So I think it'd be terrific if we can pull that off. Winter sports have been solid, as many of you know, and we're so excited to see the next few weeks and see how that goes. And concrete trucks is really neat. I don't know if any of you guys saw the pouring for the middle school. I think it was last week. Really impressive. They have this equipment. I don't know what it's called, but it made the
truck.
Yeah, it got the cement over like almost the entire project, and it was just really cool watching that. They're doing that for the competition gym next week, so just super excited to see them. So, upcoming events, wanted to just point out we have a music concert coming up March 6th at 7 p.m., and that's in our band room at the high school. So, everyone's invited if they come. Any questions for me?
Guess not.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Good.
the elementary school. We'll look at data next month. Our motor diagnostics are not quite ready, so they're still being put together, and we have kids who are absent, so we need to finish that. Right now, we have the school store fundraiser happening. It's a super simple fundraiser, but right now we've earned more than $7,800. And that money goes directly to classroom teachers. So the classroom teachers can spend it on supplies, they can do materials, they can put together projects and things like that. And then the school itself will make a small percentage off of that. And right now we're just over $1,000. Almost 52% of our students are participating. Super simple. Parents just send out emails. I'm sure some of your parents have already, you've already gotten, let, no,
we do jog-a-thon, that's
it. But this is a way that parents can support the students themselves in their classrooms, so it's been really good. Warrior Way celebrations are continuing to be successful. We just had our January one on Monday, February 12th, and again, we had more than 100 people in attendance. The kids love it. I am sure the staff loves that I am feeding those kids hot cocoa and sending them back to class. But the students love it. They feel special, and I'm really enjoying seeing the families come together and support their kiddos. We started high dosage tutoring 2 weeks ago. The term comes from the early literacy grant that this will be paid for as soon as we get it, and we'll make sure that, so it's high dosage tutoring. It's only for grades kinder through third. Right now we actually have, this is 65, but we now have 72 students. And because we added so many more students, we had to have another staff member. So we're at 72 students, 13 staff members. And I had 5 more contact Mrs. Stone and I today for students.
And this is just for reading, correct?
This is just for reading, and we're doing targeted skills to align with what's happening in the classroom as well. So what are they needing? And none of the groups are more than 4 kids, so it's good. Super small group and intensive.
And it's fun.
Yes, it's fun.
I'm like mad when she asked
them. Yes, we wanted it to be fun. They're earning prizes. They got little punch cards. We got them all spread out. We're utilizing the new mod, the old mod, the title room. We got them everywhere. So, yeah, really good feedback, and the kids are enjoying it. Grade level activities, we're super busy moving into, the spring right around the corner. We're going to do, 5th grade is doing their discovery unit, which is all about colonial life, and then they do their government simulation, so that's going to be fun to watch. 4th grade is starting their Oregon Trail and their Pioneer Life unit. They're going to go on a field trip to, I don't remember the name of it, it's over in Champouy. It's like a Pioneer Life museum, so they're super excited about that. 3rd grade, they have focused on the anti-bullying club. They really felt like within 3rd grade, they really wanted to focus on that, which I love. And this is our month of kindness, so they are working on little acts of kindness just school-wide. So they got posters up. They've got little kindness cards that they're delivering to students around the school, just trying to build some community. 2nd grade, this is really exciting. This is their trout egg study and fish release this month. This is new to them. We've done salmon for 3rd grade, but Mr. Borst reached out to ODFW, and they brought in some trout fry, and so, or they brought in trout fit eggs, and they're going to release some when they become fried. So they'll release those at the end of the month. 1st grade had a visit from the Oregon Dairy Princess Ambassador. That begins with trying to build some background knowledge on their farming unit. So they do a big farm unit in the spring. That was very exciting. And then kindergarten, we're going to start doing our butterfly study, and then they get to hatch the butterflies, which is really cool. So they're very excited. Lots of fun stuff going on. Today we also did an award ceremony for 3 through 5 and kinder through 2nd, and we had great parent participation. The gym was full, so I was really excited. Lot of academic and citizenship awards given out for the 2nd quarter, so I was really excited. Upcoming events, next week is a busy week. We've got our Save Kids presentations. This is session one. This is where Juliet's House comes in and just talks at age-appropriate grade levels on what it means to be, for safe personal boundaries, anti-bullying, and they'll address those kinds of things. We have our 2nd grade field trip at the end of the month, and then tutoring sessions today and tomorrow, and then there'll be 2 weeks from now on March 7th and 8th. So a lot of good stuff happening at the elementary school. You guys have any questions?
I guess we're a quiet bunch. Thanks, Jess.
That's all right.
Mary.
Well, I think I'm going to head over to the elementary school because that seems like a lot of fun. Right?
That's a lot of fun. They'll end up in your building eventually.
I know. They're coming to me soon. Well, we're kind of in that same spot. Just finished up that first semester.
I think one of the things that I realized when I was just typing up this report is that in our role as administrators, we sometimes, a lot of our energy goes towards the things that are challenges, right? The things that need a lot of interventions, a lot of work, and sometimes you forget that there are a lot of good things happening as well. So I was really excited to see that 63% of our sixth grade are at 3.25 or above. Super impressive, and it's something that we've really been a little bit concerned about, just with those academic challenges. And so it was nice to be able to look on the other side of that and see some positive things. We also, I just kind of want to shout out to my staff and the hard work that they did to kind of get everybody to that spot where they needed to be at the end of the first semester. And we have three kids who will need some significant interventions to make it to the end of the year. But other than that, we're in a good spot with everyone. So I felt good about that. Sports are going well right now. Boys basketball, a learning year for sure. Getting ready to head to track and have, I think, 33 kids signed up for track. So when we find a coach, we'll be ready for our track season. So again, if you guys hear anybody that is interested in coming out and coaching track for us, our position is still posted on the website, and we're looking for that. I'm seeing a hard yes over here. Right? No.
Run.
Should be able to do that.
That works for certain events.
Yeah, stay on the track.
Stay left. Keep going left.
Our attendance continues to improve, which we're super happy about. Laura and Mike are working really hard on interventions and incentives to get kids to school. Working a lot with parents actually as well, and doing some supportive pieces to kind of help them be empowered to help their kids get to school. So we're doing a little bit more work with the parents this year to help with that. Highlighting IXL one more time, and then I'll stop talking about it. Our representative at IXL allowed us a free trial, 90-day trial, to extend our licenses over to the high school. So every student at the high school can now access IXL, and if we decide to renew, they will extend that free trial through the end of the year. So the high school has this really nice opportunity to explore the program, see if it works for them, see if it's something that they can use for diagnostics and interventions and all that. So we're thankful for that. Their math content goes all the way through calculus and then also the integrated math. And they're adding biology and physics in the spring. So a really nice resource. And then the only other thing I would mention today is that we do have our Rockathon coming up, which if you've been around here, you know what the Rockathon is. And our kids challenged us this year to go old school and go back to some of the things that Rockathon used to be about. So we're there until midnight. They wanted an overnighter, and I said no. But we're going until midnight, and I was hoping that I would get enough staff to come and spend the evening with us until midnight. And I think that almost every one of my staff members are going to be there.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So we're super excited about that. I'll let you know how that goes. We're raffling off some camp rocking chairs as part of that fundraiser. So if one knows of anyone who would like to donate a camp rocking chair, we would love to take that off their hands. So, and if you want to stop by and see us, we're going to be there the 21st of March until midnight.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, you will probably be there too, because Ms. Chuck is probably going to be there.
You're
going to
be late that night, don't you? I think I'm out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
out of town. You might be out of town that night.
Ian knows homework out, right?
Sure, I'm sure he does. But he knows that we're not yet.
That's all we have for you guys today.
What was the school safety summit?
Oh, so the School Safety Summit is a professional development that 1MESD offers, and we get to talk about things just everywhere from school safety to student issues like suicide and anxiety and depression. We talk about things as simple as how to conduct a drill, just an evacuation drill, talked about potentials for practicing drills. When we get to our combined campus, we'll probably hopefully take advantage of some of that. They do reunification drills, and they help you do plans for emergencies. And it's really a nice networking time just to find out how other schools are managing some of those things. They do it each year, and it's one of my favorite trainings to go to. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Questions?
I just asked Anthony if he could get Wilco to donate.
So cool. Thank you.
So we'll see. I don't know. Sometimes I worry about stuff.
Thank you for trying.
Say, so I asked for two.
Look at that face. I'm calling you first next time.
Ask for more. And then I'm like, only half at one. Okay.
I love that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Stay, leave, your choice.
Welcome either way.
Nobody else will be the first one to get up.
Okay. Yeah, getting you. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Looks like we got
you. You're on C.
Not L.
I don't know who did that. There it is. There it is.
C's not a bad grade. My grade. I think what he said, John, was C's not a bad grade for you.
There is a report.
So the maintenance report.
Maintenance report is in there. It's lengthy, but doesn't cover a lot of topics.
Frozen pipes.
Yeah, that our winter storm did some fun things to our elementary school, especially, and so we've got a. We're in the process of an insurance claim on that because there's going to be some work to be done. Some carpets going to have to be replaced. Some drywall, some cabinets that got wet. Most of those cabinets are press board or chipboard covered with. And so once the water gets in there, they start to swell. And so there's just some things that are going to be replaced. So we've submitted things to the insurance company. We have to wait a little while for that. Logan's hoping that spring break we'll be able to at least get the carpet done then. And any other kind of bigger repairs while everybody's out of the building. So we're hoping the timing works out for that. So, you see the, bus 4 and 5 are getting old. This is what we talked about. This is why, the board approved the 2 new ones. It just, things start to happen and you can spend a whole bunch of money. Or in this case, it was like on older buses like that, we really want to put a couple $1,000 into maybe finding a short instead of
you'll chase it and find it behind the dashboard or something.
And you'll end up ripping everything out. Yeah. So we went with a simpler solution there, just to have some shutoffs. So the batteries recharge when you're driving. It's just when the bus sits there for a few hours, it drains the battery. And so goes back to why we want to kind of keep those buses fairly local, not send them on long trips anymore. So, yep.
Okay, any questions? Still a quiet bunch. CTE report.
All right, well, I brought friends. So real fast, just in my program, January 30th, which is finals week, was a bad day to go, but I went to the Oregon Employability Skills training. Oregon Employability Skills is a fairly new, they're just kind of rolling it out. Invite you to look it up, OregonEmployabilitySkills.org. That they're taking 10 kind of keys to being successful in life, no matter what you choose to do, and boiling it down to lessons. So Senate Bill 3 kind of has that same idea, kind of getting kids prepared for life. And Oregon Employability Skills will meet the requirements of Senate Bill 3 as it comes down. So I'm going to start working on that, in my class, and then that kind of the idea is, since I've been training the trainer, I can start reaching out to the high school and middle school as well, because they have middle school curriculum, and start. Spreading the word. So all in all, I was very dubious going because I don't like those trainings, but I was very impressed and came back pretty excited about it. So, all right, so I brought friends. I wanted to highlight our Woods Manufacturing Program today. So, Amanda Stan.
Hello, good evening. How are we doing? Did anybody get the chance to swing by the Amity High School Library during finals week?
I did.
Right on, Jeff. So if you did, you hopefully got to see some pretty neat pieces from my cabinetry course students, which I've got three different class periods of that this year, as well as my intro woodturners and my advanced woodturners and manufacturing capstone this year. If you did not, I've brought two of my advanced woodturners here. So they, Zane and Hayden, thank you, Jenna, for showing up. Zane brought some pieces. Both of them, I suggested if they wanted to share some of their experiences, what they've enjoyed about this year, what they're looking forward to, things like that. So, gentlemen, you'll have the floor once I finish my spiel here.
Savannah, can you expound just a little bit on what it means for a capstone class?
Yes. So, this year, I have 5 senior capstone students, and so you don't have to be a senior or manufacturing capstone. You don't have to be a senior to do the course, but you do have to have it as at least your 3rd, if not 4th class that you have taken from me. So there's a couple juniors in there with some instructor approval. When you reach that level, you can think of it more as an independent study level, of course, where you have guidance, but you are really expected to develop your own style, experiment with new techniques, and be able to fail and learn from that failure and continue on. So they went through a couple smaller builds during the first semester, and their prototype for their larger build this term was what they had as their final, so that they could go through a couple different design phases, figure out where those potential failure points are going to be before they actually work on a larger scale. And those folks are actively working on each of those builds as we speak, you know. Which 2 weeks into the new term is really exciting to see. And I'm happy to answer additional questions on all of that. So, with the new semester underway, we also have buzz in the woodshop about AMBI Education Foundation and the auction builds. And each year I've tried to incorporate a few more projects or just different types of builds in there alongside the blanket chest. And we're very excited about this year's theme, Fun on the High Seas. We are working to not make it too piratey. We don't want to, you know, have some Nate influence there. So the group working on the blanket chest, their ideas so far are leaning more treasure chest theme, but with no pirate memorabilia. That was a key copy on there. We're also looking at, I have a trio of gentlemen who have been using some of Mr. Stern's space currently to mill down some boards to make like an oceanfront river table design. We have some bookshelves going up, various side tables. So it's expanded a fair amount this year. I am also opening it to my advanced turning students. Congratulations. if they want to put pieces towards the auction, they are more than welcome to join in there.
Awesome.
And that will be on more of an extra credit as time opens up, because looking at our time frame, we have very few months before some of them leave us for good. And I want to get through a few different units with them. Now, as we go through, I have this year, my afternoon is actually multiple classes that are stacked within the same periods. And so that's provided some really neat learning opportunities for myself as well as for the kiddos. But that's also changed just the structure of how my courses work, which is allowing us to open that up for advanced turners this year. With that new advanced wood turning class, they also this term have the option to, if they're pursuing a half credit of wood science, there are new labs, additional curriculum that builds on what they took in their intro wood turning science curriculum there. And so, for instance, we're kicking it off with machining differences and density differences, specific gravity, which are key physical components to wood. Perhaps the most important component when you're thinking about strength, flexibility, durability, when you're looking at builds. So, field trip wise, my students are really diverse, and I so thankful for that. A fair amount of them are involved in band or theater. And so I have made some initial contact with a luthier that moved down from the Portland area to Newburgh. And I am looking to set up time for a small field trip to be able to go out and see what a luthier does, you know, how they go through and repair, maintain, or create original wooden instruments, because it's a very niche field and it's not something that in my current shop setup I can support really well. And so in order to get them exposed to that, I'm looking forward to hopefully having that in April. I'll be planning a trip with Xena Forest Products to get my cabinetry students that are interested out to our local forests to see our native trees, hardwood trees. They have Oregon white oak, bigleaf maple, madrone, and they really work for sustainable harvest and thinking about it generations out on a small scale, which is nice. And they also are helping contribute to the PDX airport build. So just being able to show students how they're giving back to their community, how they're actively engaged in really, really good projects for the state is really fun. Looking to next week, next Friday, I'm taking about 19 students right now, a couple more potentially, more permission slips come in, to the Oregon Logging Conference, which got canceled for us last year due to the snow and ice day that we had. So we were not able to make it down last year. As a result, kids are very excited and a little bit antsy to head down there. The Oregon Logging Conference is an annual event that happens, and they keep that Friday of that weekend conference open for what they call Future Foresters Day. And so it's essentially a large-scale company meet and greet where kids are able to go through, meet different booths. You're looking at private timber companies, drone companies, wildland firefighting. You're able to go see the big equipment for harvesting. And then any high school that has a logging sports team is also competing at that. Now, we don't have a logging sports team, but it is nice to be able to go see and cheer on, you know, students from SIO, students from Paloma that are actively learning how to braid cable, that are doing choker set, axe throw, you name it, while they're learning with that. So that will be an all-day field trip. Yeah. Axe throwing is
very challenging. It is.
Now, at the high school level, with the timber sports, there are certain events that they aren't able to do. So, apologies if you're interested with that. Now, additional things on my end. I've been in contact with Debbie Johnson. They canceled their contract with Transio, which, long story short, what I wanted out of their Transio contract was to be able to recognize my students when they walk across the graduation stage, because my kids do phenomenal work, and we're kind of the gremlins of the school, right? We are in the wood shop, we're dirty, we're dusty, we don't always get to showcase our work until the mad dash, which was an even madder dash this term with our shortened January month. And so what that allows for, those graduation cords are given to any student who has completed at least two courses of beginner and intermediate to advanced work, and so that they are able to be recognized by their community and by their school when they walk across there. In addition to that, if you've been in high school recently, the wall outside my room is a slow-growing mural. And for any student that is a program completer, that means that they have passed at least three of my courses in their time as a high school student, will be able to paint their own brick and leave their mark on Amity High School there. So that's very exciting. For our entire CTE department, because we can divide and conquer, in mid-April, I will be going to the Oregon CTE Summit to represent our department here for Amity. Really looking forward to that. It's up in Portland at the DoubleTree Hotel this year. And so that is a great opportunity for us to network with faculty from across the state, be able to get up to date on anything coming down from the state level, and prepare for that upcoming year. And I believe that is it. Yeah. So, you guys have a question?
Yeah, I can go first.
Okay.
So,
password?
Yeah. So this is a lidded container that was turned just so that you can hold it by the top without it
fallen off. And so quite a good seal on it if you want to take a look at that. This is a quicker piece, not as refined, but is a platter that I recently made, I think maybe a month or two ago. I'm not sure about that one, but I know that one and this one have a cutting board oil put on it, so they're food safe. This one was quite the process of using a Dremel bit and tooling out each of these little divots and then wood turning the outlines to get kind of a neat scaly effect.
Almost has a hammered look to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it kind of has an artistic flair if you want to use it as a fruit basket or any such thing. And overall, the whole program, the whole woodshop program has been really great since freshman year, and I'm currently a junior. I've really appreciated what Ms. Stanton has done to push out even non-conventional ways of working with wood that you wouldn't even think of, pushing us to use our minds, our creative minds, and truly with using all these different types of tools and techniques opens our futures and possibilities to other trades and even working in construction or even just more work with your hands and crafts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has room to even grow further, and it's been a great experience so far. And I just want to thank Ms. Dan for making that possible, and of course him having the go to the base,
that guy.
This guy over here.
Over there.
But really, I just been a great years from my becoming just Amity in the second grade. Great programs, great community. Appreciate
thanks,
that. It's a small school. So thank you.
Ms. Danful, I want to know when you're going to do a resin class for adults.
Oh, okay.
I heard about your resin.
Yeah.
So I took one of her classes, her private classes. It was Jeff and I and my sister, and it was extremely fascinating and very humbling.
Looks easier when somebody else does it.
It's definitely a craft. It's amazing, and she's an amazing teacher. She definitely.
And
yeah.
We've had some conversations about more adult classes.
Yeah.
So I was gonna send out a survey. It can be anonymous. That's fine. Engagement there. To see about the springtime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What people truly want.
Because I know Jeff has talked about getting into learning how to do the resin work and stuff like that. And so when my sister sent me the picture of the stuff that was in the library, I was like, can you do a class like that so I can send Jeff to it?
Yeah. So part of why resin was some of my advanced turners choices for their thesis is they were required to do two different pieces that highly demonstrated the density differences.
Mm-hmm.
And so resin is plasticizing. So putting that against something like the pieces that they had were cherry. Cherry is a very medium density wood. You're actively having that piece rotate on you and having to control your tools as you go through concrete, essentially, and then some nice smooth cuts there.
Mm-hmm.
Others chose to do like fully spalted decayed pieces and then incredibly dense woods to explore that. But yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. If you don't want Hayden, you're fine.
Yeah.
I didn't bring any of my pieces. They're all in use.
Nice.
They hold my Skittles.
My Skittles.
Apple's gifts, yeah.
But I don't know what I can say about the program that Zane hasn't said. It's great. It's really just awesome being in the woodshop and just being around everyone and seeing what they're doing and being helped out by them. And being in her main room. Being in her main room is great, being around everyone. Very open, very like comfortable feeling, I'd say. Very, what's the word? I can't think of words, I don't think of words. Very humbling, trying to turn and then having it kick back at you. Mm-hmm. Kind of make you feel like an idiot.
So I have a question for any of you three, that maybe the students, but when you have more experienced students in there with younger students, is there some mentoring going on? Is there a lot of helping each other? How does that work?
Go for it.
Yeah.
You got one.
Yeah, it's, you'll get helped by a lot of people. It's mostly just people seeing that you're doing something not wrong, but not in like a better way. So they'll come help you. Like Cordell. Cordell's like he's come around and helped me a bit. Not in a very friendly way. But it's helped. I'd say it's made me better, made me more confident with turning.
So that's great. To add to that, I would say all the students, when they first enter, as they evolve to turning, but even in cabinetry, I think I catch them off guard a little bit because I'll hear something and I'll just, you know, holler across the room like, you need to drop your tool rest, or like, you haven't sharpened your tool probably in about 15 minutes, go take care of it. Because you start to just listen to those sounds and you know when it doesn't sound right, or when it is, when something's singing, you know? And so I would say from my perspective, it's really fun to be able to watch these kids develop that and recognize it not only in their own work, but then they can like look up from the pieces that they're working on and be like, hey, so-and-so, like, come here, let me show you something, because they have experienced firsthand what either like a lack of tool maintenance, or, you know, not realizing certain heights or certain adjustments being made can actually improve their turning. And so all of that comes down to situational awareness and then feeling open enough to not only give feedback. You know, I mean, for instance, Hayden's reference there, Cordell's a year younger than him, right? So being able to give and receive feedback in a manner that doesn't feel like they're put on the defensive is something that I hope all of them, when they reach that point, understand is a very valuable tool moving forward in life, because you're going to be working with folks that have diverse skill sets.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's good. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
That's great.
All right, Chloe. So we have a state degree, FFA state degree.
So first, what I have is, it is a presentation guide for you guys to fill out. And basically, while I give my presentation, you guys can say if I met or did not meet the requirements.
Now I know it.
Yeah, I didn't have access.
Oh.
So it's just requesting access.
And then this is my application and record book of everything that I have completed throughout FFA.
Okay, I guess I'll look at that. Well. Need it,
huh? Just tell me and I'll. I don't know if the test thing works or not. You can try that. Nope. All right. Keep it here.
So I applied for my FFA state degree this year, and basically what that is being involved in FFA for two or more years and being involved in a certain amount of FFA activities at or above the chapter level, doing a certain amount of community service activities, and having a supervised agricultural experience project. So a little bit about me. This year is my fifth year in FFA. I started in eighth grade. It was a little bit harder when COVID hit and we went online. So I wasn't able to do a whole lot my eighth grade year, but that is when I earned my green hand degree, which is a first year degree. And then my sophomore year, I earned my chapter degree. And so basically I got into FFA because my entire family has gone through the program, and I really wanted to kind of see what it was about, learn a little bit more about agriculture, and I wanted to see what kind of experiences I'd be able to gain from it and friends that I'd be able to make from it. So FFA has made me who I am because I have gotten better at public speaking. I have really found an appreciation for agriculture and what it means. I have gotten a ton of traveling experience. And I've also attended lots of leadership conferences that have helped me. So I will be going over some of the offices that I was involved in, the career development events that I participated in, some events that I did, and my project. So the first one is my offices. In 2020 to 2021, my freshman year, I was elected Greenham president, where I worked with the chapter president, kind of shadowing her to learn my role and responsibilities in that. My sophomore year, I was elected chapter treasurer. I helped plan lots of fundraisers, and I made sure to count money with the advisor after each event. And then my junior year through this year, I have been the chapter vice president, where I worked very closely with the president and the advisor to plan events and make agendas for those meetings. So planning activities, that's a really big thing for the vice president. I have helped plan our chapter meetings and banquet, choosing dates, getting decorations, setting up and taking down. And then we also do fundraisers. Our annual ones that are up here are the dessert auction that we have at our banquet, and then our plant sale that we have every May. And then lastly, the program of activities is basically a record of all the information and events that we do within our chapter that I helped put together. One thing that I did as my agricultural discussion is I helped a lot with ag literacy. So we went over to the elementary school. I helped with it starting my freshman year, and we really were able to talk with the kids that were online. They were able to come to the school, and we kind of talked to them a little bit about agriculture. And then once we got back in person, we kind of restarted that, going over to the elementary school during school and teaching them about agriculture and the different aspects of it. Next, I will talk about my career development events and the highlights. The big one I was involved in was our Envirothon. That is the one that we placed at the national level, and we were able to travel in 2021 to go receive our award for that. I have also been involved in vet science. I've done it, I think, every year since I've been in FFA, and I've basically learned a lot about animal breeds, diseases, and care for them. And then I've also been involved in floriculture, where I learned a whole lot about plant species, making arrangements for them, and basic flower care. And then I also got involved in ag sales. I was a little skeptical about it at first because I was new to public speaking and how to sell products, but I learned a lot about it and I came to really enjoy doing that. And then I've also done a job interview competition where I was able to learn how to take a real interview and what to expect when I go to get a job. And then lastly, rituals, which is a competition during our leadership camp where each officer has a certain script that they have to give memorized. And so it helped me become more confident with my public speaking. Some FFA and school activities that I have been involved in. First, for my school and community service activities, in each ag class that I've taken, I've learned a lot about the AFNR, which is agriculture, food, and natural resources. Throughout my sophomore to senior year, I was able to really focus on those standards and how they impact agriculture as a whole. And then I'm also involved in the Yamhill County 4-H Ambassadors Program. I've been a part of that since my sophomore year, and we do a whole lot volunteering at different community events, at the Yamhill County Fair, selling milkshakes, and then we also have participated in the Giving Tree to help the lesser fortunate. And then lastly, for my community service, I'm involved in National Honor Society and leadership, where I've helped put up flags on federal holidays and then volunteering at a ton of different events. Some activities specifically through FFA that I've been involved in. I've gone to a few different conferences. The ones that stood out the most to me was the Living to Serve conference in 2021. That was one of the main first conferences that I went to, and I learned a whole lot about leadership, being selfless, and helping others. And then this last year, I went to the Lead Out Year 4 conference, where it was just a bunch of us seniors getting together and learning a whole lot about leadership and selflessness. And then I have attended the district level, state level, and national level conventions. I went to a lot of different sessions, learned a lot about leadership, and was able to meet a lot of people. It was really awesome. And then a camp that I have gone to the last 3 years is the Lower Willamette District Leadership Camp. officers that are elected in each chapter in our specific district, go to that camp, and we learn a lot about leadership, what it means to be an officer, and how we can take that back to our chapter. And then I've also been involved in the Yamhill County Fair, Oregon State Fair, and in Oregon ACT Fest. So these are some pictures that I have from that. These ones are all from being involved in the fair. This is from Oregon ACT Fest, and then a lot from just conventions and conferences and camps. Lastly is my supervised agricultural experience projects. So I have three, kind of. The first two are kind of together. So I started showing rabbits through my 4-H club, and I figured that it would be really good to continue doing that through FFA. So I got to learn a lot more about different rabbit breeds, the best ways to show them and care for them. And then I recently started showing market rabbits this last year. I learned that they are a lot different from show rabbits. They are only raised for meat, and you raise them for a few months. They're like only a few months old, and then you sell them to an auction. And so I did that for the first time this last year. It was a really big learning experience, and I look forward to doing it again this year. And then lastly, I was our greenhouse manager. I helped a lot in my ag classes and with the advisor in planning our plant sale and basically taking care of the plants in the greenhouse. A little bit more about them. I was able to learn about small animals for both my rabbit show and market rabbits through my advanced ag class when we focused on our livestock unit. And I gained a lot of experience showing the rabbits and basically what I need to know to be able to show them, because there's a lot of questions that go into it. And I basically invested money with my rabbit show operation and then profited through the market rabbits. And then in the greenhouse one, I took a horticulture class and was able to learn a lot more about plants, different species about them, and that I went into with my plant sale and helping with that in the greenhouse. That is how all these things were how I was able to earn my state degree this year. Does anyone have any questions?
Get attached to the meat rabbits at all?
I tried not to.
I was going to say, if they're the red-eyed ones, it's probably
a little
easier.
Easier, right?
They got the red
eyes. They seem kind of
creepy.
Yeah. How big do those meat rabbits get?
Depending on the breed and how long you want them to be. Mine ended up being between 5 and 6 pounds. That's like the prime that they want it to be at Yamhill County Fair. And there's also different like divisions. So like they can get up to like over 12 pounds if you choose.
How much meat is on a rabbit as a percentage of the body weight?
I believe it is 90% meat.
A lot of muscle.
Yeah. How many rabbits did you have total?
At one point when I had my market rabbits, it is 4 of them. You buy 4 at a time. You sell 3 at the auction, and then I sold the 4th one separately. And then I have 3 other rabbits that I use for show.
So you didn't breed the rabbits, though? The market rabbits, you just raised them?
Yeah, I bought them straight from a breeder that does market rabbits.
So that keeps your numbers down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't like to put my name. Chloe, do you want your name at the top or our name so you know who the evaluator is?
Evaluator signature. No,
just the signature.
Bottom, but my name is on the top.
Well, now I'm going to have to scratch that out.
We all get it.
Tim asked the right question. I assume you wanted. Because you can't read Tim's signature. You don't
it's
know
okay.
who that is.
I'm the only one who sees it.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah. I'll just finish out by saying, you know, we have some pretty incredible kids at the high school. Kids coming up, and it's only through the support of the board that you allow us as teachers to support our kids. So thank you very much. We really appreciate you. Keep it up.
And Chloe will actually be earning her state degree. We found out today.
I'm going to save it.
Nice. Congratulations, Chloe.
All right. Thank you.
And you got a little taste of, like, is the presentation going to be ready to go when I'm ready to start speaking? How's the timing going to work?
You handle that very well because you just can't get flustered. You just like, well, whatever happens, happens, and we deal with it and make it work. So nice job on that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Well, that's probably just more of that.
Next Saturday,
yeah.
I'm going to be sitting White Sox Stadium watching Mariners White Sox.
Yes. That'd be a bummer. I'd be very disappointed if that was me.
Wait, do we play Saturday or Friday?
Next week?
Mm-hmm. Saturday. Yeah, boys, but
I feel like really disappointed.
Are you doing no, like just gluten free, or are you doing no carb or something?
No, just, I have to do gluten free. Not by choice.
Not funny when it's not on my
list. Those cigars?
Yes.
Yep.
It should be.
There's no listener, so you're good. So, yeah, I'll just mention it that so the state passed a bill. It's in the process of being finalized. It's going to get all passed. They're revising it now. It got passed. Now they're revising it a little bit, but after the short session, it'll be in play. And basically, it requires initially, the bill required all districts to live stream video of all of their board meetings and record that and keep it on a public accessible file. It's like, okay, you're asking a lot of technology things from every school district around the state.
People
and of
were
course,
that interested, they should come to the board meeting.
Yeah. So we do have to now put our audio recording somewhere on our website. So they will be somewhere on our website.
Not to mention people can't keep their mouth shut.
It's not on right now.
It's on.
Not that anybody's probably listening.
No, there's nobody on. I can see somebody on there. So, but we now have to just put the recording up also, not just the... So
as soon as it's official. Is that where the video camera spying on us now?
Yeah, that's been up there a long time, but it's not plugged into the thing.
There's cameras everywhere now, even on the bus.
That's what you think.
Someone's patching it.
1984. Just about.
Okay, so I can grab on financials.
You have all of them in there, including HMK's report.
Yeah.
And our enrollment.
Yeah.
Here.
Slipping
a
little.
Yes.
Somewhat. I think the biggest reason it's slipping is because all three of our schools are holding the line pretty tightly on some discipline things.
Awesome.
And so we've sent some inter-district transfers packing. And we've also held the line on some local students, too, who have decided that maybe life would be easier if they didn't get held accountable. And so they've gone somewhere else.
Did those other kids come back that did the whole hullabaloo at the grade school?
No. So I think that there's a little bit of – there's a tension there, right? I mean, you'd love to have a good, strong enrollment, but not at the
– weed actually.
Yeah. Not at the expense of having law and order, so to speak, if you will. You know, having a good culture in your school. So there's a balance there. And enrollment is declining across the state. There's a few districts that are up a little bit, like Cascade. I'll get it right. Yeah, Cascade. Get which one? I get that in North San Diego. I'm confused. Cascade is up. But Cascade is everybody's moving out of Salem to Turner. They're building houses like crazy out there. So fast that the district's scrambling to find places for kids. They're having to bring modulars in and do things like that.
Are those people like homeschooling, online schooling, or are they private school schooling? Like, why is enrollment down?
All of the above plus. Yeah.
Yes.
People are having fewer kids too. So the incoming classes are smaller. People are waiting longer to have kids. They're having fewer kids. So across the state, like kindergarten enrollment is down. Mm-hmm. And part of it is the economy, right? Because if you're a young couple and you're trying to figure out how do we have a family right now,
You know, if rent is $2,000 a month for a two-bedroom apartment in Salem,
and daycare is like
$1,400. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? Yeah. And you're asking people in their early 20s, mid-20s to start families. It's all part of the design.
So I was telling Jeff it's down statewide about 30,000 students.
Wow.
That's what they're figuring on the next for
a
budgeting year.
It is
a lot.
Mm-hmm. So not every district is down, but most districts are. Some of our neighbors are having to cut quite a bit of staff. Dallas School District, I think they're looking at like 37 employees are cutting.
By 37?
37 across. They have like a $3.4 million shortfall because of decline in rent. So
that's a lot of people.
Salem Kaiser's in negotiations right now, and if the teachers were to accept the current offer from the district would have to find $30 million. Negotiations aren't done yet. It's going to get worse. So if in order to find that, they're looking at potentially 300 employees being cut from Salem Kaiser.
And there's a lot of layers because of like students transferring out.
It's there. I don't know why Salem Kaiser's enrollment, it's down some. And most of what, so this is another interesting part of the conversation, all fits into this financial thing. So, and this is a good thing for the board to know if you don't remember, you probably all heard it at some point, but so special education funding, we get a double weighting on SPED students up to 11.1% of our enrollment. Well, very few districts are at 11.1%, maybe Lake Oswego. Dallas School District told me today that they're about 20% IEPs. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
They're almost double what they're getting reimbursed for,
wow.
If you will. So, and their superintendent's point was, you know, the kids that we're losing are not the special ed kids.
Right.
We're losing the kids that we used to use to kind of backfill the cost on the special ed kids. Now we're losing those. Our SPED population isn't going down. And so the percentage of our kids are going up, but we're only getting reimbursed for that 11.1%. So there is some pressure on the legislature because the legislature, now we're hearing legislators kind of grumble a little bit. It's like, well, you know, we've got all this money going to schools, but enrollment's down. So maybe schools don't need that much money in the future. It's like, yeah, but all the high cost kids are still going, right? And so they limit high-cost disability. There's a pool of money. And so if a student costs, is it still $30,000? More than $30,000 in total cost. So if they have an aid or if there's other special accommodations that raise that price of educating that student, we can get reimbursed over the $30,000. So they're looking at maybe making some changes to that as well to offset some of the burden on schools because we're getting more across the state and more high-cost kids.
And it's not 100%.
No. So it depends on how much money they allot for it and how many students are claimed.
Those things are, we have to follow through with rules that the state put in place for those high-needs kids, right? And then they're only reimbursing us for part of it.
We're just the middleman,
right?
Like the rules tell us what we have to do, and then the money's over here, and we're trying to got to comply with the rules. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be that district. Or that state, because the state of Oregon got sued on that. That's part of the reason we've gotten some new bills around special education.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of financial pressures coming on districts from different directions, right? What if you've got declining enrollment, and then you've got more kids that are high needs, and you've got some of these other constraints that are happening.
And if you're Dallas, you're under scrutiny because disability rights already sued them.
Yeah.
And so now they're probably under a settlement that requires them to fund all that stuff completely in good faith always.
So
probably every year they're making new laws and new rules.
Yes, they keep adding. They rarely take anything away, right? They keep adding. So it is a lot of pressure coming down in terms of finances. I think that overall we're sitting pretty well financially right now, but
with that, there was a bill that was being proposed to limit what the ending funding balance could be. If they were saying
10%.
A percentage of your total budget.
OEA pushed for it.
And so a lot of business managers were like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. With all the things that are coming down, the higher costs, we need to have some kind of cushion to save us for
Yeah, this only represents what, 2 months almost?
Or something like that? Yeah, about 3 to 4.
Oh, okay, we're getting better.
Yes.
As time goes.
But
yes.
Luckily, I think the business managers did a good job of really coalescing around that OASBO,
right,
which is the association that represents the business managers.
And so it's been.
Yeah, so that has gone
so
away.
So
but that's
far.
Something OEA is going to keep bringing back. The logic of OEA is that if you can only have 10%, you'll give us more of that money.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bill says if it's above 10%, it goes back to the state.
Yeah.
So the state on one level is a little bit in favor of this, right? Because like,
they're
oh,
having a
money
because our revenue keeps coming up. For,
right.
I mean, with the cat tax
property
and
taxes.
Well, that's why they're giving everybody kickers, right? This year,
yeah,
that's like 42% of what you got back last year, like an additional.
It's,
like.
And so that was one of our arguments,
really
was like, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
at all. You've got all this money coming in and yet you want to take more from the schools?
Criminals.
So that bill did not go through,
no.
But I guarantee it'll come back. They'll keep hammering
form,
this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Different ways, maybe a different number,
mm-hmm.
something. We've been very fortunate here that hasn't been a big talking point in negotiations. So it came up one time, and I just explained to them why we have it where we have it and the unknowns, and
mm-hmm.
and that it's part of what creates a stable district is when you don't have to be concerned about an unknown popping up. When we had to deal with boilers at the high school, for example, we were able to deal with that. We didn't wait for it to break down and then find ourselves in a crisis situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the legislature is getting more and more active in trying to control what happens at the school levels,
mm-hmm.
the community levels.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more, the schools are having to be a lot more vocal about what the impact, because a lot of times the legislators don't know, right? They get lobbied from somebody. It sounds like a good idea to them. This happens in every facet of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they pass something without even knowing what the actual impact is going to be. And then they have, oh, well, maybe we didn't mean for it to do that. So, you know, and it creates a lot of extra work for people. So but that tied in well, because I was going to talk about that in my superintendent before me. So. Well, perfect.
If you have any other questions, looking at the.
Glad we are where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be all right. I think it'll be interesting to see how building some new facilities also impacts some interdistrict transfers and things. And I've kind of been telling Mary she's got a little homework to do in terms of like some messaging. Like, how do we do this without saying the wrong thing but giving the right impression? So we'll see. And the honest truth is I go to meetings and I won't say publicly the which districts, but I sit and talk with other superintendents and they're dealing with a lot of issues in other districts that we're really not dealing with here. And sometimes, and Kevin, our special ed director, is quick to remind staff of this here. Like,
mm-hmm.
yes, you see the problems we do have. What you don't see is how many problems other districts have that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his first year was a real eye opener for him. You know, you kind of get thrown into the fire, right? And you're trying to navigate all this, but sometimes you have to step back, go to some other, visit with other districts, and you realize like, oh, okay, it's good. So we'll find ways to get that message out, track more good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal.
Halfway into the superintendent report?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I can officially move into it, I guess.
Thanks for keeping us on track.
Just kind of transitioned a nice little segue. The rest of what I wanted to talk about is really around construction stuff. So you've got the update in there. Obviously, the updates are always kind of a little behind. So really, the February is only dealing with things through January. So it takes some time for that communication to go out. I sent you the picture of the footings being poured, so that's good. The next thing over on the middle school side will be the monolithic slab pour. So, Ryan, I know how much you like seeing big construction project stuff. That'll be a pretty cool thing to watch. I don't have an exact date. I think we're a couple weeks out. They've got some other work to do to get ready for it. But they'll pour. So a monolithic pour means they're going to – so you've got your footings. Now they're building the forms for the stem walls and the – effectively, the stem walls and the slab are all one connected thing. So you
mm-hmm.
don't have two different pours, one for the walls and another for a slab. So the whole thing gets basically filled in with concrete out to those outer walls of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big pour.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big pour. It's a lot of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And the real challenge is there's no pumper truck that can actually reach the full distance they needed to reach. So they'll start the pour in one spot, have to move the pump truck to another spot to be able to finish the pour. So there's a lot of logistics stuff, and there's a lot of planning that goes into it from Triplett Wellman to make sure that everything is coordinated, because everybody has to know where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. You got to have the cement trucks coming into the right place and the right.
It's pretty amazing if you haven't seen a concrete pour like that. We did that out at our shop, and I was just sitting there like, I'm going to wash them all day long.
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah, it's impressive. When I have a firm date, I'll let you know. It'll be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And they want to time it with the weather and other things. So that's part of it. They've got some dates, and they won't nail it down until about 2 days before, mm-hmm. when they're really more sure about the weather, because they don't want to deal with hard rain. A little bit of rain they can handle, but a hard rain just makes dealing with that slab, you know, a lot trickier. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of people on site that day, mm-hmm. doing a lot of things. Then in the meantime, they'll be pouring the footers for the gym. We've been working with staff in the high school to get ready for the 65 remodel. This summer will be absolute chaos. Basically, the high school campus will be, for all intents and purposes, completely closed all summer. It has to be, because you will have stuff going on in both parking lots, the 65 wing. The blue gym will be full of stuff from the 65 wing. And so will the multipurpose room. Things will go both of those directions. The offices are getting remodeled, the entryway. You'll have the gym stuff going on and the middle school things going on. So literally almost 360 degrees of the campus will be under some kind of construction. Power and water will be turned off at different times depending on what they're doing. So it's really hard to make any kind of plans. And we don't really, I was talking with Amanda about just how hard it'll be for students to access, even if there isn't an area that's being worked on. With that much construction going on, there's a lot of liability for the contractor, and they're not a big fan of having people that shouldn't be there. John's building will not be touched, so we'll probably do summer school out there. So that one will maintain power and water the whole time. It's on its own meter for water. Kind of finishing up June. So the teachers have to have everything packed up for those 65 classrooms by that Friday at the end of school. So we have school ends on Thursday. By Friday, they have to have everything done. Monday, the move starts. So the office will get a couple of extra days because they need to wrap some things up on that Friday with teachers still there. They'll get a couple extra days. That'll be the last thing to move. And they'll set up a temporary office probably at the kitchen end of the multipurpose room, and just kind of a couple of tables down there with computers on them. But there will be times where they don't have power in the building, so it'll be intermittent. So we're just asking everybody to stay to the timelines that they're being presented with, and then be flexible as stuff happens. So it's one summer. It's going to be total chaos from our side of things. It's a lot of work to get done. There's asbestos abatement. There's plumbing that has to be done. There's ceiling work, floor work. All kinds of things going on. So
they're
going
to have to completely gut their classrooms with all their decorations.
Yes, everything comes out. Yeah. It's a lot. The science teachers are a little stressed out, because if you've ever been in the back room of the science, there's all the beakers and test tubes and all that. You got to pack that up. You don't want it to get broken either. So you have to wrap a lot of things. So it's like moving a house. So we're getting them boxes in the next week or so. They'll be able to start as they, you know. So there might be some students put to work as student aides, right? It's like, all right, let's go. We're wrapping beakers today. But everything, we lost about 3 weeks due to the city of Amity and the permitting process. Paul from HMK wrote a very stern letter to the bosses of the Council of Governments, and we suddenly got much better responses after that. So that's, now it's moving along pretty well, but we lost a little time. Paul feels and Triplett Wellman feel pretty confident that they can make that time up, though. They build some things into the schedule. So we're still feeling pretty good about staying on schedule, and it doesn't affect the summer remodel stuff. It's just more about the middle school schedule than anything. So after that estimate we got on the remodel of the modulars, we've kind of proposed and asked Paul to investigate what it would look like to remodel and add on to this building. And so they're looking into that. We want to explore all of our options and know there's definitely, regardless of whether we stay in this building or we use it for something else, if there's people in here, we really need to do some seismic upgrades to this building. Mm-hmm. There used to be a load-bearing wall that went through that other side, kind of lined up. Somebody long before me, probably before Reg, took it out and didn't put posts in or anything. So there's a lot of sagging. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to do the minimal amount to make it a safe building, right? So that's part of the engineering firm. We'll go back and look at the seismic. When we had those TAP grants, one of them was to look at the seismic. They looked at this building. So they know what some of the different kind of tier one, tier two, tier three type of things that need to be done for this building to be used long term. There's definitely some things that need to be done. Then the question would be, you know, can we build, if we don't actually attach another building to this building, that might reduce what you have to do to this one. So looking at some of those different options and then the cost estimate back on that at some point this spring, probably. So
as wild as it was, no hurry.
No hurry. No. yeah. I and they know that. It's just trying to make sure that we can show the board all the different possible options and what those things look like long term for the district. So and I think that's about it as far as construction things go. We've got I think the principals are doing a great job of kind of preparing and managing everybody for what's going on with construction things. And there'll be some work to be done on gym design, interior design things soon. Tashi will be kind of setting that up and working with somebody from HMK on that just to kind of make sure all the detail things are kind of taken care of. It's one thing to design a building on the outside and the structure. It's another thing to like, what is it going to look like when people walk in? So I think that's about it for me.
Okay, thanks. Looks like no old business on the list. New business, overnight trips, softball, FFA convention. There's a lot of literature there. I didn't get time to read it all.
Right. Like literally down to the minute. It's
yeah.
Like, holy
it's pretty
cow.
Organized. Mm. I think that's just giving you the agenda of the entire conference there, what it'll be. So that's a pretty standard trip. And she'll have her necessary chaperones. Same thing for the softball.
How many kids are going to the FFA?
I don't know if she has a number yet.
Yeah. My answer today.
Last year they took 7.
That I don't remember.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
So hopefully it's growing. Any questions on either of those trips?
Those are both 2-day trips.
The spring break one is, I think.
No, it's 24. Yeah, 24.
Two nights.
The baseball, or the
softball.
Softball was 2 days. It's a couple days.
Yeah.
Good to me. A motion to approve the overnight trips.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. All in favor of approving the 2 overnight trips, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion passed. So what's up with this golf?
So Yamil Carlton has one boys golfer who would like to participate, and they don't have a program, have not had a program. They approached Tashi about allowing a co-op agreement, allowing him to come and join, play with our boys. I don't know how good he is or not, but it doesn't change our classification at all. Doesn't change who we compete against or our district. And so she was in favor of that. Didn't affect us in any way. They provide transportation. It really just gives a kid from Yamhill Carlton a chance to participate.
Yeah. As long as it wasn't a disruptive.
No,
nope,
it doesn't change it. No, no.
Does he get to wear a warrior hat while he's golf?
That's all we'll have, right? So
he'll have to do it.
He's our team.
Didn't we do something with this similar to this with Perry?
Yeah, we did for middle school football. We've done Western Christian for soccer. Used to do boys and girls. Now it's just boys. So just too bad we could have used a couple of the girls' soccer players.
Wouldn't hurt.
Might have been able to hang a little tighter with Alan Gamel.
Certain amount of goodwill in.
It's all yeah. It's. Mm-hmm. I'm all for helping out kids, even if they're not our own, as long as it doesn't cause problems for our kids.
Exactly.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the cooperative agreement for the boys' golf from Yamhill Carlton.
Second.
And I believe it's a 2-year potential commitment is what OSA does. I mean, they're doing 2-year plans. It doesn't mean you have to. If the kid decides not to participate next year, then he doesn't. So.
If he wants to, and we already
that's already started. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a motion and a second.
I did the second.
Any further discussion? All in favor of approving the golf cooperative agreement with YC, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. And motion passed. Next one I'm kind of hands off on.
Yeah.
So it's the license contract recommendations. I didn't see it in the. Did I miss?
First, we had the one resignation already that took effect already, and that's what Jamie Sims is doing at the high schools, covering that class. And then we have another retirement.
Doug Johnson.
Yep.
Oh, he's on here for resignation.
Yep. So he's not listed on here as a renewal.
Thinking back over time, the ones that are going from probationary to regular status were the big concern, if any.
It's actually kind of late on that. You got to hit those on the first 2 years, really.
Last chance.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So we're just approving this? Yeah. Is that what that? Okay. Does Ray?
I'm stating.
Okay, so then that goes to me. So I can't motion it or move it or approve it.
I motion to approve the license contract recommendation.
Second.
Okay, so all in favor for approving the license status? As stated, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
4-0.
4-0.
One abstain.
Okay, thank you. Budget calendar for this spring.
The class size.
Oh, excuse me.
You don't.
And we're not.
I'm in a hurry, apparently.
Yeah. I like your stuff.
Get it over with.
It's already been a long meeting.
Yeah.
So
you said it wasn't going to be.
Some people I don't have control over. It's those high school students.
I think we've gotten out of here in like 40 minutes before. So,
recommending the same size cap sizes, which is kindergarten through fourth is 65, and then 75 above that. Okay. So we only have a couple where that's been the sophomore class, and I want to say like
Sarah's class was back when they were fifth graders.
Yeah.
That's when we upped it to 75,
right.
And then we had a huge influx.
We have one in the elementary school, I think, that's maxed out.
Third grade?
That's. We're sure one of them. But yeah, the rest of them are good. So.
So basically, with that cap, we don't ever mess with our staff levels or.
Yeah, it keeps not much anyway, right? You can get a little variation going through elementary school and things, but it keeps our facilities able to handle our students. So.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve a motion to whatever class size cap for enrollment recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor of approving the class size cap, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. So we've passed that. It's in the budget calendar for this year.
Ann, yes. Is the regular board meeting in June supposed to be on a Tuesday? Okay, I just wanted to confirm before.
It is.
Okay.
June 18th.
Is
yes.
It Tuesday? Okay,
yes.
I just want to confirm.
I don't know why we did that. I don't remember why.
Oh. I didn't know if we were observing Juneteenth because that's just
kidding. No, we're not.
Kidding. Like Valentine's Day.
Somebody on there?
It's not a real holiday, is it?
Yeah. Some people get it off paid, insurance companies don't.
These are the superintendents.
How do you really feel about it?
I mean, I'm always looking for more paid holidays.
Right.
I might be out of town that week. But
yeah, we should discrimination.
It's hard to know right now.
Well, I could find out.
You can identify as whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
Nothing?
No. Any other conflicts anybody sees in there?
We don't, as a board, go to the first meeting for the budget committee, right?
That no, yes. You don't have to do
anything. Oh, we do go. Okay. I can't remember. It's a year like that away.
No, nobody needs to file for re-election.
An even year.
Right. Nobody.
Only in odd years.
Okay.
So next.
Next year, we'll have three of them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure, right?
Yeah.
Just
explain. Am I done?
No.
No.
No, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
What if somebody runs against us and we lose?
You never know. I don't see an issue.
This time I better put my a splurge in there because people did not like it. Didn't have any information.
Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve the budget calendar.
Second. You're cut off.
You're done.
Sorry,
enough
Tim.
Said.
Tim, you can keep talking, but then she'll have 3 seconds.
Yeah. No, I don't want to hear her again.
Sounds all right.
All right. Any further discussion? Proceed to vote then. All in favor of approving the budget calendar for this spring, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion passed. First reading board policies.
So, yeah, there was a little confusion on that. Last time, some got put in there that should not have got put in there. One did anyway. So that one is not listed on there anymore.
Which one was that?
I don't remember the name of it.
We took it out. Hold
yeah.
on.
Is it the expulsion?
No.
Religious
and
culture.
One. We had all the questions about
religious
one.
And
the holiday one, yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That
we
was
took it out.
That was an optional one that wasn't supposed to be in there. A couple of the, and we don't always do optional ones a lot. I try not to add more than we have to. The cybersecurity, though, even though it says optional, it's legally optional, but our insurance company says we want you to have it. So we're not the last district to have gotten hit with cybersecurity issues. There's been more since then, and there's one right now that's dealing with issues. So
isn't Shenandoah get hit?
Clackamas Community College.
Clackamas Community College got hit.
And
yeah.
Central.
So it's an issue. We already do all the things that it says in the cybersecurity. It just puts it in policy so the insurance company can say, yes, we know that the district has a policy to follow.
And the auditors.
And the auditors
they
can see it too. Yes, they wanted it in there too. So. So even though those are not technically required, they kind of are. So same thing on DH on the loss coverage one. So
I heard on the radio yesterday that last year's scams took $10 billion from
cybersecurity stuff.
Just scams in general. $10 billion.
It's crazy. Well,
it's insane.
But that money goes back into the economy somewhere. They're spending it. Yeah. Somebody's
yes.
economy, right?
Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the first reading of the board policies.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of approving the first reading of the listed board policies, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign.
The resignations. Oh, sorry.
I pulled a Jen. You what? cut them off.
Is that a thing? Is that a thing? Do we get to say that?
Yeah.
Pull the gin?
Yeah.
Okay.
We should have t-shirts made.
Just jumping ahead. She's like, I'm moving on to the next thing.
Yeah. You're
not.
Sorry,
Rick.
I guess I'm going too
slow. You were going fast earlier. You sat down. She was trying to gauge your tempo.
Okay, so we have a consent agenda.
Oh, no.
And it's the minutes, some resignations.
Does anybody have anything you want to say about resignations?
Well, I had a question. I didn't see one in here. Who had? It's just Doug Johnson? Okay.
Yeah. And one that doesn't have to be accepted by you guys, but Julie Horn has given us her retirement.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What? So, she gets married and gets to retire? I don't think so.
So we've opened that up. And we've had two applicants. One of them is in-house from the high school. And and then the other one is somebody out of district, but we'll be evaluating those. But I think one of the things we look for in that position is somebody who has building experience within the district, preferably. Because the one of the big jobs that person does is they support all the other offices and the secretaries and troubleshoot for them and answer questions and you know, get a hold of ODE on things and just kind of, they have to be kind of the master of the student information system as well. And so if somebody comes from out of district to take that, they would have to have similar experience somewhere else, ideally. So, So it's always nice when you can find somebody in your district. Diane was in district and she came over here. She'd been all three buildings. Julie had been at Lake Oswego and then here at the high school for 10 years or so before she did it. And Katie's been in all three buildings as well, which is just good experience. So we'll be moving forward to filling that here in the next month. We'll get it all done. So
is Doug planning on hiring back, or is he just
done? No, but he'll sub, I think, right? That's the idea. He's gonna sub. Or so gives us another sub that's been in the district, which is always nice. It's really interesting when you, this is a little off track, but it's one of our, something we've done very well is our principals and myself have done a good job of recruiting people to become subs in our district, talking to parents that we knew were qualified and things. And so we rarely have to get a sub from outside of our district, which helps continuity so much. Very few districts have been able to do that. And so we've been very fortunate. So, a good thing.
Well, that's too bad about Doug, right? He was a good teacher.
He has continued to improve as a teacher in the 12 years I've been here. Works hard at it.
Yeah.
Very compassionate.
Some really powerful work in math interventions in the last couple of years.
I was going to say, he tutored Lindsay one-on-one back in the day, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That really made a difference.
Didn't Lindsay just turn 21?
21 years ago.
10
years ago.
Seems like 21 years ago. Yeah.
I took 4 years.
Yeah.
And so we also have adoption of a series of listed policies there. So we could adopt the whole consent agenda in one deal.
Could do that.
Just saying.
If somebody motioned that, you could do that.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve consent agenda in its entirety.
Second. Are you done, Frank?
That's why I was waiting.
That'll be fast.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Next meeting, need to have executive session for my evaluation.
Okay, we need to dredge up that form, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Find it. We'll email it out.
I've got it somewhere on my phone, I'm sure.
Probably got it somewhere, too.
Do you still want me to fill it out and send it in? Okay.
Be good.
Is Doug staying until the end of the year?
Yes. Okay. Oh, SEI. I don't know. Have you guys gotten emails from the jurisdiction for SEI?
Economic.
Yeah. Okay, so that's coming up.
Oh.
They'll open it up March 15th, and you'll be getting emails then.
They'll be sending us that reminder last year.
Mm-hmm. And all your, except your bond.
Well, I was going to ask, could you?
Yours is the city, and your bond.
Can you switch mine to, because now I have access to my Amity account.
Wow. Oh,
and then that way I won't lose it in this. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay.
So you want me to see if I can change it?
If you don't mind, because then that way I won't lose it in my junk mail and I won't be the problem child that you have to be like, Amanda.
That's right.
If you don't throw it out, they'll
call me.
Yes, they will. I got fined 1 year for not getting mine done on time.
I can just bill that to the district, right? I'm just kidding.
I couldn't.
Submit for reimbursement.
It's an ethics thing. I'll just bill the district for not doing my job.
You know, watching how good they are, it almost would be fair.
Yeah, I finally gained access after Jerry got into my account.
Okay.
So.
It's been 8 years.
Like students couldn't email me, like when they would ask for letters or because their school email wouldn't let
it
out. Right. And blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I just need to gain access. So
mm-hmm.
I am now part of the club. Trying not to conform.
Before we adjourn, I guess I should say I don't think we had any comments about the audit report, so it's accepted based on last month's vote.
Okay.
And with that, all right, we'll adjourn at
7:31.
Okay.
You.